TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
What's up, Raised by Wolves? Is the Minnesota Timberwolves now have 15 guaranteed contracts.
They
for
got a full
the,
roster
they
now.
They have a full roster, Manny Hill. I'm Danny Cunningham. This is Raised by Wolves, as they have agreed to terms with second-round draft pick number 43 overall, Jalen Noel. Earlier this morning, the news was broke by our own Darren Doogie Wolfson, as Noel will be signing a four-year deal. It's very similar to the one that Naz Reid signed, with a much larger guarantee on the first year. I believe his guarantee is roughly $1.4 million for the first year, and then it'll grow, but it's non-guaranteed for years 2, 3, and 4. So the Wolves do get that team-friendly deal they were looking for there, with a deal that essentially has three team options. He'll be on the same track as Naz Reid, where if they don't like what they see after 1 year, they can cut bait. If same after two, after three, he can be around for up to 4 years. This is a very team-friendly deal, and the Wolves now have all 15 guys.
I'm trying to think of how many second-round picks have gotten over $1 million in their first year?
This year or ever?
Or just like ever?
I don't have a number off the top
of my head.
Because
that seems pretty unprecedented.
But this is, I believe, what I heard, and I don't have all the numbers of everyone's guarantees for the second round, but the information I was given earlier this morning is that this is tied for the second highest guarantee for a second rounder.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's
ever.
I don't know if that's ever or this year.
Or this year.
But
okay.
It's a high guarantee for a guy that's picked 43rd overall. It's certainly more money guaranteed than Cade Bates-Diop got last year.
Yeah.
I mean his contract will be roughly what Cade Bates-Diop is making this year. They'll be making a very similar number. So it is a team-friendly deal, though, because it gives the Wolves that flexibility. And it does seem like this will spell the end of the Tyrone Wallace era in Minnesota, because he's the non-guaranteed contract that is right now the 15th guy on the roster. I would assume that this means he's going to be gone. Because
should we have a moment of silence for the Tyrone Wallace?
He's still going to be around in training camp. So we'll see what happens then. Maybe he ends up on that second two-way deal. Maybe that happens.
Possible.
You never know. But for now, it doesn't look – Tyrone Wallace's chances of making the opening night roster don't look very strong, Manny.
So what do you think was the difference in – what evidently made the difference in getting this deal done now? Because it seemed like a couple of weeks ago that they were kind of far apart on getting this done.
I can tell you that they certainly were far apart, that a deal very similar to this one was one that – was offered and put on the table and turned down by Jalen Noel, that he didn't want to sign that. His camp didn't view that as a fair deal. I think the fact that they essentially raised the first year guarantee by $500,000 is something that started to get this deal done, because what I had heard is that Noel was offered the same exact contract that Naz Reid signed. So that would have meant he would have been making a little under $900,000 guaranteed this year. And obviously, if he's guaranteed $1.4 million, as Doogie's reporting, then it's quite a step up from that figure. And I think that that's something that got the deal done. I'm guessing that I'm guessing Noel's side got more money in exchange for the years being non-guaranteed in years 2, 3, and 4. I'm guessing that's what got this deal done, is that his side was willing to compromise with the Wolves as long as the Wolves were willing to attach more of a financial commitment up front, and should those years be guaranteed. So I'm guessing, and I haven't seen the figures for years 2, 3, and 4. I don't know what those look like. But I'm guessing that if the Wolves do guarantee those years and keep Noel around on the roster, he's going to be in a better financial position. That's what I would have to guess. I haven't seen the numbers. I don't know that. I'm not reporting that. That's just that's what my inkling would be as to what got these two sides together.
What's a fair expectation for Noel now? Because now that he's signed and he's figures to be a part of the team, I mean, now we can start talking about the basketball portion of this, right?
Like, sure.
What can he bring to the table? He's a second round pick, so we have to kind of taper our expectations, obviously. But what can he bring to the table that people should look for?
Well, just by virtue of necessity, he's going to be the team's third point guard, it looks like, right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's him, or how many minutes do you want to have Andrew Wiggins at point guard? Because they only have two point guards in Jeff Teague and Shabazz Napier. That's all they have at point guard right now. How often do you want to trust Jarrett Culver with point guard duties? How often do you want to have Andrew Wiggins running the offense? Because depending on the question or the answers to those questions, that impacts what Jalen Nowell's role is. I don't necessarily view him as a guy that's going to be in the rotation opening night, but I think at some point he'll get playing time for this team, and I think that the Wolves would, in a sense, be foolish to not let him on the court and see what they have, because they have to make that decision next year if they want him around again, and they're going to have to continue to do that. So if they're going to want to see growth, they're going to want to see it on the floor, which I think would have to mean at some point this season, probably not opening night, probably maybe not even until the calendar flips to 2020, but at some point during this season, they're going to need to see Jalen Nowell actually on the floor in NBA games. I would expect him to probably spend some time in Iowa to start the season. I think that getting some game experience, I know, and Gerson Rosas has talked very strongly. He feels very strongly about the G League, where he wants it to be an environment where guys can go and grow. And if you look at what Houston did with their G League, the Rio Valley Grand Vipers, they've really utilized that environment to test things out. And I think that Jalen Nowell could be a very good test case for the Wolves as a franchise. And I think Naz Reid, too, to circle back to him. I think that both of those guys will be spending some time in the G League just so you get game experience. Because say what you want about the G League, it certainly is not the same level of competition as the NBA. And it's always going to be like that.
But guys got to play.
Yes, but there's no substituting a game environment. It's not an NBA game, but it's also not a practice. And there's a difference in intensity levels between a practice and a game. You can only get so much out of a two-hour practice at Mayo Clinic Square. They're going to get a lot of work there. They're going to get a lot of instruction there. But the place you're really going to learn, and this is true in any sport, it's not just basketball, it's baseball, it's football, it's soccer, it's everything. You're going to get the most accomplished when you get a real chance to be in a truly competitive game environment. And at some point, there's no substitution for that. I would expect both of these guys to be in Iowa for a little bit, but I would also expect both of them to see legitimate minutes with the Wolves, because the Wolves are going to have to make a decision on them less than 12 months from now.
Yeah.
And they can't afford to get things wrong at this point. Like, they just, the previous regime has left this one with little to no margin for error.
Yeah, I mean, when you go through the season, I mean, training camp, yeah, you're practicing all the time, and then you get a couple of preseason games in and everything where you can experiment with a few things. But you get through this, you get to the regular season, teams just are not practicing that much. So if Jalen Nowell's on the big club and he's not in the rotation, the team's not going to be practicing that much. What is he really gaining out of that? And he can gain so much more by playing down in the G League.
I will say, I think time with some of the player development guys, like I think Pablo Pergione, who really helped out Brooklyn's guards, and Shabazz Napier spoke highly of him when he was introduced last month. I think that spending time with him in practice will be big. But like you said, there are bigger focuses in practice than just developing Jalen Nowell for the Wolves. They have to focus on games. And the NBA now, you're essentially playing every other day. Like, you've got everything comes at you so quick. There will be time off to the side when Jalen Nowell is going to get a lot of time to develop, and they're going to do everything they can. They're going to invest in him. They're going to do as much as they can to ensure that he becomes a successful NBA player, because they're invested in it, he's invested in it. There's no reason for it to be any other way. But I think that it's going to help him to be in a game environment. I do think that practicing with the Wolves and practicing with a lot of their player development guys and Ryan Saunders, Pablo Prigioni, as I mentioned, is going to help him become a better basketball player. But I also think doing it in the game is going to help him as well.
What kind of shooter is he going to be? Because his shooting numbers in college were really good. How will that translate?
No idea. I don't necessarily believe that the college numbers translate all that well to the NBA.
We learned that about Josh Okogie.
Josh Okogie shot 38% from three in two straight years, comes to the NBA, shoots 29%. Jarrett Culver shot 38% as a freshman at Texas Tech, 30 as a sophomore. I don't know what to expect. I think that he'll probably be closer to the 38%, but I don't know. Jalen Nowell can shoot the ball really, really well, but I don't necessarily know how good he's going to be. That's something that, and there were a couple players in the draft like that, like Tyler Hero of Kentucky, who was drafted by the Miami Heat. He didn't have quite the year from distance in college at Kentucky that he probably should have. But if you watch him and you watch the type of shots he's taking and you watch his stroke, you can just be like, that dude's going to shoot 39, 40, 41% in the NBA at some point. He's too good not to. I don't know that I can say that about Jalen Nowell. I haven't seen enough of Jalen Nowell, but I like the fact that he was a Pac-12 player of the year. That it's an accolade, But as a sophomore, that's a big deal. Like, that's a Power 5 conference. It's not the best conference by any stretch of the imagination, but the dude was the best player in it. I think that that's a start. I think he probably has right now, if you look at every rookie and say, okay, you have to have one NBA-ready skill, I think he'll be able to score at the NBA level.
Create for himself.
I don't know how efficient he's going to be at the start because a lot of young guys certainly are not that. That is far from what young players are. If you remember back to Andrew Wiggins as a rookie, he could score, but he wasn't efficient. But it was okay because he was a rookie, and now it's frustrating that he's inefficient because he's getting paid $25 million plus a season. And isn't,
at that time, his rookie year, the Wolves were not trying to win. They were tanking.
They were thrilled with what he gave them a rookie, and they had every right to be that way. That's how they should have been. I don't think he'll be very efficient at first, but I think he's someone that can certainly grow into an NBA player. And you know what? If he does, that's 2 years in a row the Wolves win with a pick in the 40s. Cade Bates-Diop at the 48 overall pick, who looks like a rotation player, or at least is the fuzzy outline of a rotation player at this point. Those are wins for picks there. If the Wolves can get something out of Jalen Noel, and if they can't, they have a team-friendly contract, and it's not going to hurt them. But what they can't afford to do is continue to pick up options for a guy that doesn't pan out. So I think that it's Jalen getting the type of money and the type of guaranteed in the first year that he got certainly is a win for his side. But I also think that the Wolves getting those three team options in a very similarly structured deal to Naz Reid is also a win for Minnesota.
It just reminds me so much of like when the Wolves drafted Derek Williams back in 2011. I think he had shot like... And certainly he didn't have the volume of shots that year at Arizona, but he shot like 50% from three or something like that. I think he had only taken like 40 threes the whole season. But there was that thought that, oh, okay, well, he's going to come in and if anything, he's kind of a positionless player, but he's going to be able to knock down some threes. And then we saw it and just he wasn't really that good at almost anything.
No, he certainly was not that good. Yeah, he shot 51% from three, took almost two a game. Or no, he shot 56% as a sophomore. Took almost two a game, but he only took 74 overall.
Yeah.
So 42 for 74 is not bad at all.
Yeah, that's still, I mean, it's not a great number in terms of volume, but it's enough to where you think, okay, well, there might be something
there.
Hey, man,
Derek Williams played in an NBA Finals.
He did. It worked out pretty good for him.
Yeah, man. Where would they be had they not screwed that pick up?
That one is, I tend to give them I don't like giving David Kahn a pass for anything.
Sure.
But that one, I kind of give him a little bit of a pass because Derek Williams was kind of the consensus number two guy. Like a lot of people would have taken him second overall.
Certainly. Yeah. There was discussion that, like, who should the Cavs take? Should the Cavs take Derek Williams or should the Cavs take Kyrie Irving?
Yeah.
Like that was not a... It was not a slam dunk consensus number one overall pick like we just had with Zion. It was not like that.
Right. And so now you fast forward 8 years and it's like, okay, well, Klay Thompson went in that draft. Kawhi Leonard went in that draft. But you also didn't, at that time, you didn't anticipate Klay Thompson being one of the two greatest shooters in the history of the league
or Kawhi Leonard being
a dynasty killer, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, but where would they be if they hadn't taking Derek Williams, I mean, I don't know if it would have changed a whole lot because I still think David Kahn would have found a way to get himself fired.
Yeah,
pretty much. But it is an interesting talker on like where they would have ended up.
Yeah, certainly is. But I think that this is certainly a win for the Wolves in terms of the contract they signed Noel to. And now we've got all 15 guys locked up. So we know what the Wolves are going to look like. Training camp will be interesting for a number of reasons, but it certainly doesn't look like there are battles for who's going to make the roster. That looks pretty set to me.
For that third point guard spot, I know you and Dane talked about that a little bit last week. Where would you go in that route if they're looking for sort of a third creator, a third ball handler. Would you experiment with Andrew Wiggins there? Would you give Jarrett Culver some looks there?
I would experiment with Wiggins because I think that if you can put Andrew in the pick and roll as often as possible, and maybe he doesn't need to be the point guard to do this, but have him be the initiator of a pick and roll and get him going downhill towards the rim, that's when he's at his best. And I think that the more often the Wolves can do that, the higher chance of success that they have, not only this season, but in the future with Wiggins, because he's here and he's locked up, and it is what it is at this point. Yes, it's not a good contract. Yes, are they probably going to attempt to move him at some point? Yes, he will. This is not the last we've heard of Andrew Wiggins' name in trade talks. I promise you that. His name is going to be brought up from the moment the season starts this year when trade talks resume, because they've kind of quieted down now, or at least December 15th when 40% of the league can be traded again, until the trade deadline before the summer that he is a free agent on this deal. Andrew Wiggins' name is always going to be involved in trade talks. At some point, it's going to be rumored.
It kind of feels like it's going to have to be sort of an experimental type of year with him, where they're going to try some different things. Obviously, they want to get him away from all the bad habits that has plagued him for the 5 years in his career, but it seems like they're going to want to try and experiment with some new things, if anything, to try and boost any sort of trade value that he may have.
Yeah. I do think that putting him in that pick and roll and getting him to go downhill and getting him to try and attack the basket and getting to the free throw line, is because you're not starting at square one with him. It's hard to start at square one with someone who's built the habits he's built and has the experience in the NBA. But you have to try and reshape some of those habits, and I think that's a good way of doing it. So maybe he's not your quote-unquote third point guard, but if he is your third or fourth creator, I think that's better for the Wolves. I think that's better for him.
What would that mean for Jared Culver, though?
Well, I think that you're going to have to ease Culver into this. It's not fair to a rookie. And look how many rookie point guards struggle. And Culver's not a just point guard by trade. But if you remember back to last year, look how bad Trae Young looked for the first 3 months of the season.
Yeah.
Look at Colin Sexton in Cleveland, who was one of the worst players in the NBA until February. And then those guys figured it out. Colin Sexton ended up making an all-rookie team. Trae Young finished second in Rookie of the Year voting behind Luka Doncic. Point guard is the toughest position to learn in the NBA. It's like being a rookie quarterback in the NFL. Unless you are just best of the best, it doesn't click right away. It's going to take some time. It's really difficult to be a young point guard. Look how often it takes guys time to figure out what they're going to do and how many late bloomers we see at that point guard position, more so than any other thing.
Yeah, it's going to be I'm really curious as to how they're going to use a lot of these guys and you know, what Culver's going to look like out of the gate, how they're going to use him. They're going to try and ease him in, it seems like. I'm excited. It should be pretty interesting.
But with him, I don't think that you can still have him be a creator. You just can't task him with having to handle the offense, because there's a big difference there. And I'm not necessarily tasking Andrew with having to handle the offense too often, but if you can have Culver be a secondary creator when he's on the floor, that's a really good thing for him.
Sure.
That's a way to ease him in. That's a way to still have him very, very involved in the offense. And
Shabazz Napier's out there.
Yes, even alongside Jeff T, because I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Jared Culver's a starter. I know I've talked about this with Dane on this podcast a couple of times, but I think it makes sense because you've invested so much in Culver to have him be a starter, where you're starting Carl, three wings, and Jeff Teague. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, because what would the alternative be? I mean,
Jake Layman. Which also makes sense. It's a guy they've made a commitment to, a three-year, $11.5 million deal for Layman. That would make sense. And at that point, you're a little bit bigger because you're pretty small with Covington at the four playing like that. And
would Covington still, if it were Layman, would Covington still be the four in your mind?
I don't know.
Or would Layman be that guy?
I would tend to think it might be Layman. I forget what Layman's listed at, but
I think 6'9", 2.
That's what Covington is too. But also, you're adding another. If you're starting Layman over Culver, you're substituting 6'9" in for 6'6".
Yeah,
like, that's where the difference is. The difference is between
size.
Oh, him and Covington are the same size. It's you get bigger at another spot, and that helps in a way compensate for being small at the four.
Yeah, so all right,
that's the difference there.
Should be fun. Should be interesting. I don't think they're going to win a lot of games, but it will be interesting to see how they sort of create things.
I think that they will be interesting because we're going to learn a lot about this team this year. They're, like you said, I don't think they're going to win a ton of games. I don't think that they're a playoff team. I don't think they're anywhere really near the playoffs in the Western Conference. And that's really through, I don't want to say through no fault of their own, because they've put themselves in this position as a franchise with the previous regime. But the West is just so damn good where even if they were something close to what they were expected to be a couple years ago, they're still probably only a sixth seed. Like, it's not as if they're a title contender right now with where the Western Conference sits. So,
in your mind, then, do you think that they could be better than what their record actually will be because the West is so tough?
I do think that that's a possibility. I think that they could be a, it sounds crazy to say it, but they could be a really good 32-win team. Like a really good 30, like a better than normal 32-win team. And that sounds asinine, I know. But you have to look at the West versus East thing. Like, I saw in the over-under odds that we talked about a couple weeks ago here on Raised by Wolves that the Golden State Warriors and the Indiana Pacers have a very similar over-under total. And you could think to yourself,
it's like 48, right?
Yeah, 48 and a half, I believe it was. Like, oh, if you think the Pacers are going to win more games than the Warriors, you're insane. I get it, because the Warriors are certainly more talented, but look how many games the Pacers get against Cleveland, against Charlotte, against all of these teams that are terrible, while the Warriors have to face a Portland team that might get the 8 seed and win 46 games. They have to face the Lakers, the Clippers,
Denver,
Utah, all of these loaded Western Conference teams, where even the bad teams are like, oh, they have to face Sacramento, who could win 40-plus games. The Wolves could be a 35-win team. And we're talking about, like, 12 and 13 in the conference now. Where you get to 12 and 13 in the East, it's like, you guys are terrible. Like, that's where a lot – that's where that difference can be made up, is the difference in the strengths of schedules between those two teams, I think, is going to be pretty significant.
Yeah. But I am – we're still a couple months away from the season, but I am really, really, really excited for this NBA season.
Yeah,
I know the Wolves aren't
going
to be great, but the West is going to be so much fun.
It's going to be a blast.
Wait. Yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to be a blast. That's Manny Hill. I'm Danny Cunningham. We're getting kicked out of the studio so some other people can record. So this is it for today's Raised by Wolves. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the all-new free Score North app. It's free, Manny Hill. You don't have to pay a dime for it. I can't promise that in 10 days, August 16th, I don't know. I heard it could cost money then. I don't know. I'm just saying, make sure you have it now, because if that price goes up, you're going to regret not having it now, and you're also going to be paying us money for it. So just go get the app. This has been Raised by Wolves.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.